everyone. Welcome to Get 'Em On Side. And sadly, we can't have the three of us. We had the secret location last week. So for those who miss us on KO, we do apologise. But we are back here in the main studio, which means Diva Dan can't be with us. How are you, Shawnee?
I'm good, mate. I thought we would have had him. I thought this was the week.
Yeah.
I thought this was
so
the week.
I.
But alas, there he is on the screen.
Alas, there he is. Hello, Daniel.
Well, I mean, I've got plenty of excuses up my sleeve. Do you want to hear them? Firstly, someone tested positive in that joint only a few days ago or a week ago, so I'm quite happy to stay here. Also, I had the second shot yesterday, and I feel exactly what everyone else who had the second Pfizer felt. Just a little off about everything. You know, it's nothing that would stop me from working or coming in, frankly, but it was enough to create the excuse that I didn't need, that I couldn't come in. But it's interesting. It's like being shivery, but without having the shivers, or a little fluey, but not really fluey. It's a very odd, bizarre feeling. But nothing that would have should prevent anyone from getting it. And I don't think we need the three of us to be giving public service announcements, because people are getting them in record numbers now. As soon as the 20s and 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds like myself realised, you know what? We can get our avocado toasted, avocado smash. Once we get to 80%, all the people, all the youngins, they're flooding. We're all on board. Bugger.
You'd be eating his avocado smash with that bottle of Fiji water.
Show us the water there, Dan.
$9 a pop.
Well, $2.70 in Harris
Farm. I'm not buying
farm.
That. Eastern suburbs.
But can I tell you,
$9 a pop.
I'll tell you a story
refill.
About the Fiji
I'll give you
water.
The receipt.
So one of the great Australian con artists, Peter Foster.
Yeah.
Right, there's a podcast called Swindled. Peter Foster, it's worth a listen, not while you're listening to our podcast. Just wait till you finish this one. It's called Swindled, and he was on the run. He'd been on the run so many times, but he was on the run, and he was trying to sell to everyone that he was in Fiji. So he had the Fiji water as part of the backdrop. And they ultimately found him in Brisbane. But it's a fascinating, fascinating chat there. Boys, let's kick it off, eh? How have you found the week that was?
Well, my week, so Dan mentioned he got the second jab. Before we get into football, let's talk some rubbish first. Me and you got the first yesterday as well.
All on the same day.
All three of us. Dan was his number two, but me and
Where
you
at?
Number one.
Did you go to Homebush as well?
No, I was in RPA, Camperdown Park there, or one of the RPA buildings, right. But it was a very strange setup. So you all sort of got marshalled into this car park, and it was like a cattle pen. Everyone's in single line, probably a few hundred of us, all got the masks on, and then they tell you you got to walk somewhere else. So we're all walking down the street, camping down past people's houses, all masks on. It was like something from a science fiction movie. Then you get in there, obviously, and get the jab. But I felt you sort of feel like you're doing your part for the community. I felt pretty good yesterday.
I'll tell you a little fact. So Israel have been leading the charge when it comes to COVID. Now, Israel, above 12-year-olds, we're not going to smash you with COVID chat, but above 12-year-olds, they've got 78% of the population who have been vaccinated, right? However, they've seen this spike in more recent times for the Delta variant, and the reason being is that over time, which they hadn't really factored in, the immunity for the vaccination starts to weather. So they're all now queuing up for the booster.
Yeah.
So before you know it, we'll all be looking for number three. So
well, they're probably a year ahead of us, aren't they? So they're probably ready for their yearly top up.
That's right.
Yeah. There you go.
That's right. Anyway,
can
right,
I just say this before we move on? I was very impressed with the operation they have. So I went to the Homebush one, the big one, at Olympic Park. Now I went there for the first one, but it was 5:45 p.m. and there weren't many there. This time it was chockers. And huge lines, you know, the sort of lines where there were drone shots over from news channels and cameramen on the ground, like to capture how long these lines were. And I said to someone, a policeman, how long is this going to be? And she said, 45 minutes to an hour. I said, nah, come on, that must be what you tell all of people. She said, I promise, it moves quickly, 45 minutes to an hour. And bugger me, it moves real. It is a military-style precision. They had the 3 o'clock people, the 3:15 people, the 3 o'clock people, and you don't go one by one. You go in blocks of, I don't know, 100 people, and all of a sudden you walk half a block up the road, and then you stop for 10 minutes, and then you walk half the, and it took 40 minutes. So, and then once you go in, it's a brilliant setup. So well done all. We can't bash the government all the time, and various governments actually do some things right. Anyway, that's enough COVID chat. Let's talk some footy, eh?
Certainly is. A loyal listener of ours, text by Sean and I, actually. Pete, hello to you, Pete, listening in. He's in a secret location too, I understand, but he sent through some shapes.
The control room?
He sent through pentagon, octagon, hexagon, and paraseason gone. So is that the case, Dan? Are you ready to put the red pen through the Parramatta reels?
I loved it. That must have been one of those. Normally it's that or a player scandal. Those memes or a player scandal video that goes wildfire on, like wildfire on WhatsApp and text message. Yes, I think they'll turn it around to the extent that at least they'll go into the finals with a couple of wins under their belt, but that was a new low on Saturday. I think they get the right opponent to turn them around because there is no greater elixir for lacking points than playing the Cowboys at the moment. Yeah. So, I mean, but in saying that, if they can't thump the Cowboys, it gets even lower.
Yeah.
They look like they're off each other as blokes, which is a risk as a bubble. You know, when you're in that confined space, you've got blokes blowing up about single blokes who are better players, getting better rooms, and families are blowing up. Once you got the families in there blowing up, this is a recipe. It was always going to happen to one club, that it was just going to implode. Once the families get involved, I think they'll turn it around to the extent that they can at least be mildly competitive in week one of the finals. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, they get a very, very suitable game in. I think they'll probably do a number on the Cowboys this week, but we'll get to that. We'll get to our tips later. But did you catch Brad Arthur's press conference after the game? I found that very underwhelming and not what I would have wanted to see from my coach if I went for Parramatta. I think it was something from Country Footy where he said, "Oh, maybe, you know, maybe we're working too hard. We've got to do a bit less and go to the movies or, you know, mix something up." I'm like, that. I don't think that's the issue, Brad.
I'll tell you one issue. And you know what made me look for this? And it may have been for charity, and I don't know the reason, but as soon as I saw Dylan Brown trot out with the blonde locks, right, I thought...
Oh, yeah.
I thought, and this is not my Bambi, by the way, but I thought, how's this bloke been going? So I went to the stats, right, and I texted a few notable people in the game, and they totally agreed. So his stats for this year... Now, Tom Dearden's stats are better than this, by the way, who he plays... 16 games for the year, Dylan Brown. In fact, that was coming into last week, right? These are prior to the game. One try assist. 2020 after 18 games, and he had a try assist actually on the weekend off a kick. 2020, 18 games, 4 tries, 5 try assists. 2019, 15 games, 4 tries, 5 try assists. I mean, this is a team who's largely been in the top four for that whole time. I don't think he's at a position where it's just an automatic selection in the starting team for me. I don't believe that Will Smith wouldn't add more to that team. Honestly, Will Smith's a goer, and Will Smith can find points. And I haven't got his stats to correlate with the Dylan Brown stats, but the haircut, the stats... No, I don't know about that.
I don't want to say it like a bit of a... It's a dinosaur view that the haircut and the hair dye...
Of course it is.
But, and it gets said a lot about when different clubs or players do certain things. You've never seen a Melbourne Storm player trot out with... Although Josh Adokar might have done it once this year.
That was after he scored the 6 tries.
Well, there you go. Yeah. And they're the Melbourne Storm and they won 15 in a row or whatever it was. So... Yeah. You know, we're not comparing apples with apples, but yeah, I don't love it.
Well, I think Dylan, we keep forgetting because he wasn't officially named. There was a scandal at the Eels involving a video, and that may have an impact. I think it's been acknowledged now, so we can talk about it. But that may have an impact, and you're right. Something's got to change in that regard. Gutherson. I think the contract talk and Court having the blow up with his teammates, that's really had an impact on him because he's been muted in terms of output the last couple of weeks. I think, you know something about Moses, I think he's actually really trying. But it's just not happening for him. Yeah. Don't forget, Campbell Gillard's not there at the moment. I think we are underestimating how much punch he gives them. But even then, I think at their best, they're still a step below the elite teams, the absolute elite teams. So maybe Brad Arthur, I heard this theory, it's an interesting theory. he actually gets them overachieving early because they pinch cheap wins. This is a Craig Bellamy trick. Well, not a trick, but Bellamy would make sure they bank got the points in the bank early for the Origin period. Yeah. But of course, he had the talent and class and coaching nous to then get them back up. But can't keep being a coincidence that they keep starting seasons brilliantly, 9-1 this year or 8-1 this year, 9-1 or 8-1 last year, and then it falls away. They're training too hard early, or they're just not talented, and 9-1 and 8-1 are just false economies.
Well, I can't speak for the years prior, but they had a pretty weak draw. I said this about 8 weeks ago, which may have been on this program. I would move. I think Gutherson's a 5-8. I honestly think he's a 5-8. And it could be a bit similar to what Jack Whiten did. They moved Jack Whiten to 5-8. Mm. They found themselves in a grand final of the Canberra Raiders. I think he's a 5-8, and I said this 8 weeks ago, I would have picked up Dufty. You can't tell me this side with Dufty motivated at fullback, him at 5-8, you can't tell me that wouldn't be a better side.
I'm not sure about that. I still think that's their best team. Guther, fullback, Brown, at six. Even though, I mean, the stats that you just went through aren't that compelling, but I still think that's a better makeup than Dufty, yeah.
All right, boys. Just before we move on to our Bambies, round one next year, Parramatta coach. Is it Brad Arthur?
No.
No. That's a resounding no.
I'm not saying he should be axed, because I think people that say they don't have the talent is correct. I think they are achieving about what their talent suggests they should achieve. Clint Gutherson is not one of the top five halfbacks in the premiership, fullbacks. I don't think Mitch Moses in the top five halfbacks? And they're your two marquees. So if you don't have the best players in the comp, how are you expected to win? But I can see a movement happening. They should have money if they want to go down that path. Parramatta don't. They are a club that can make rash decisions. You notice ever since Max Donnelly took over, remember Parramatta when they had the salary cap scandal? Then they had the independent guy Max Donnelly come in basically to straighten the club out. Now it's gone back to private people essentially. All the leaks are happening again at the club. So for a couple of good years, no leaks were coming out of the club. So it doesn't matter what regime, leaks are coming out. Unless Parramatta turn this around, I think, yeah, there could be a change there.
Okay. Boys, let's get the little pellets in the Bambi gun. Let's do this. Righto, Dan, kick us off. What do you got?
I'm going to bring to you a possible new expression. Joel, you brought brucing to us, which I think needs very little explanation now for those that are regular listeners and viewers of the podcast. But I will explain it because it will lead to my next one. That is using a bigger celebrity, perhaps their death, perhaps their retirement, using them as a springboard to shine a little light on yourself.
Yes.
Okay, so we've seen plenty of people when someone dies, and then you'll see the photo of this person with dead person. You know, I met him once at a supermarket, and what a profound loss this is going to happen. So that's brucing. I have one called manganing.
Oh, yes.
Manganing is when you use a pandemic to somehow shine a light on your own business. Luke Mangan, at least once a fortnight, somehow finds a way to use the pandemic to get some publicity on himself. Last week, offering one of the most stupid ideas I've ever heard, if you come into one of my restaurants once we open up and you're vaccinated, I'll give you a glass of wine.
Oh.
So for the cost of... And it's going to be flagon wine as well. It's going to be house wine.
Yeah.
So this bloke, and he's on the front of the Telegraph website for a full day. I don't know. So he's a genius. He is a genius. I don't know how prominent it was in the actual newspaper, but I'm calling it out now. People, and this is going on. This has been going on surreptitiously, but I'm calling it out. Manganing, when someone is using, and you'll notice it now. Now that... it's been identified. and articulated. Maybe. You will notice when this happens, and all you people, you can report back to Joel or Sean, because I'm off social media. But please let us know when manganing occurs, because I think this is happening on a near daily basis.
Well, you know what we'll do at the end of the year, Dan, when we're allowed to do that? Let's really manipulate the manganing. Let's just go in there, right, together.
Yeah.
We'll order a bowl of fries between the three of us to get our free little glass of wine, and we'll say, hooroo, looky boy, we're off out of here. So there you go.
But at a manga joint, a bowl of fries is $21.
That's right.
It's got the bullshit truffle shavings.
That's
or whatever
right.
they say.
Exactly.
Sorry,
right.
I shouldn't say that about it is expensive, a Mangan restaurant. They're very nice restaurants.
Oh.
That was disgraceful what you did, Luke, and I'm calling out. And don't worry, that writer, I'm sure, has free Mangan meals for life.
Oh, yes.
I'm giving him a warning. I like his work, but if I see him do it again, I'll be calling him out.
Right, Al, let me just put my armour on here, because I've got some inside information that this one might be coming my way. Sean.
Yeah.
Get your pellets in your gun. I'm armed.
I let it slip that our very own Joel Kane is my little Bambi this
like
week.
It.
Now, we've touched on it a few times how we've given, well, there's a bander list that we don't let Joel talk about certain things. One's the buy points, taking the two in certain situations, rule change on the fly, that sort of stuff.
Oh, the other one was the age group entry?
Age group.
Entry, like shifting it every 6 months.
Exactly, that's one
six
of them.
6 months every 4 years, that's
it's
another
funny
one.
You should mention that was one of them. So a lot of people would know Sportsbet and the NRL partners have been for a very long time.
Yes.
And, you know, as being such great partners, Sportsbet had the opportunity, Sportsbet staff, we had a bit of an all-staff virtual get-together.
Yes.
Guest speaker.
Yes.
CEO of the NRL, Andrew Abdo.
Very impressive.
He was unbelievable.
Yes, he was.
Almost as good as your emceeing, Judy Shook. But at one point, and we sort of walked through Andrew's career, and it was fantastic. Great, he's a great storyteller, and a lot to get out of it. But he mentioned how he was never going to be a professional athlete because he was born in December or thereabouts. This was nearing the end of the interview. But God, did Joel Kane jump on that? And then he proceeded to tell the whole Sportsbet staff, all 600 or 700 of us that were online at that time, about his theory about flip-flopping the age groups from underage to top age every 2 years or whatever it is. And I was just keeping an eye on the number that were on the call, and it went from 600 to 550 to 5. Before he was done, there was about 20 people left on the call. Oh, how did you get a hold of that?
I'm just sort of looking it out through, listening to Andrew, who was brilliant, and then he just left the door ajar, didn't he? And I just got the foot out.
The door was shut.
Bang. I'm coming in.
Was he listening that whole soliloquy? Did he stay on?
He was there.
To Sean's credit, the story he has told, well, it went for about 15 seconds, me talking about it. Anyway, I will say this about Andrew Abdo. Can you just imagine this? This is what I said to our team. He turned up in 2012 to a South versus Canterbury game, and he knew nothing about the game. He sat down. And imagine if somebody told him that day he would be, in 4 years' time, the chief commercial officer, and in 8 years' time, the CEO of that game. He was only over here on a holiday. He's a fascinating story, isn't he, Sean?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. We're very, very lucky to have had the hour. It was probably about 45 minutes or an hour we had with him in the end. It was unreal. Yeah.
Now, my Bambi, it's a real Bambi, this one. This young lady on The Voice, and she comes out, and she's very, very good. She sings Dance Monkey, right? And I've been sitting on the lounge with the family, really, really enjoying
it. Careful. Careful, Joel. Now, I attacked once.
He's got 100% strike rate, this bloke. Go on.
No. I attacked. Yeah, I interrupt. Yeah, that's fine. Rachel Leocar, who was half blind, and I said, is she really blind? I said that stupidly. It was an off-the-cuff comment. My God, did The Voice fans come at me? So I'm just putting that in there. Go for it. I will now let you go uninterrupted.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about the high crossover between The Voice followers and our particular audience. Anyway, just on the blind situation, this lady Leanne comes out. She was just brilliant, absolutely brilliant, to the point where she didn't even know if the chairs had turned around and all four had turned around. So it's a little thing we're doing with the family. We sit on the lounge and we all watch The Voice together, which is fantastic. They're very talented, these kids, as was this young lady called Rory Eliza, right? So she does very well, and the judges are sort of hovering their hand over the button. They sort of want to press it, but she's not quite there, and in the end, none of the chairs turn around. So they are now presented with this young lady, Rory Eliza, and the first question they ask is, so who are you? And she says, I'm Rory Eliza. I'm from the Newcastle area. I've got 4.4 million followers on TikTok. That is her opening statement. That is her opening statement. Hi, I'm Rory Eliza from Newcastle, and I've got 4.4 million people following me on TikTok.
Mm.
Please, come on, Rory. Rory, you were brilliant. You were very good, actually. You're very, very good. However, if you're going to spend the rest of your life introducing yourself with your third point of saying, I've got 4.4 million people following me on Instagram, you have got to sort things out. But anyway, that is my Bambi as far as today is concerned.
Wow.
Yes. Well, mate, honestly, she's young. She can improve. How many? Okay, Suze has just given me around the ground, so the voice has kicked her along.
Oh, really?
4.4 million at the
what
time
is it
of
now?
Recording. 5.2.
Oh, so this is what's wrong with the world.
There you go.
It
so I hope that 5.2 million army certainly don't come after me, because you're going to squash me. Anyway, that's the banter.
Just
the
if they do come after you, just don't get in a little slang match with them back and forth, all right?
Oh, yeah, please.
Hey, can I just say something before we go? See, I didn't interrupt you. I'll let you go. Yeah. I'll let you go and get yourself tied up. Now there's 5.2 million TikTok people. Yeah. That sounds like a fake number, by the way. Hang on, if she went up by 4.4 to 5.2, are you saying that 800,000 new followers, there's something
no,
not
no,
right
no, Dan,
about
you're
that.
Not factoring in, it's not live. So at the time of recording,
oh, I see.
It's probably since grown. Actually,
I've been to a voice recording. It's one of the most boring experiences of my life, but that goes for all. They had to feed the kids snakes to keep them awake, because it went forever.
That's exactly right. I need to find this tweet, right? So I, like you, Dan, I'm very, very close to completely unsubscribing it, and my traffic.
No, you're not.
But my traffic on social media has gone through the floor. I'm getting more and more interested with. I'm trying to find this bloody tweet.
Just while you find that, if you were to ask me to price up, has Dan Ganane been to a recording of The Voice? You could have probably got 1,000 to 1 out of me.
Yeah, and also
that's astounding.
And I'll get 1,000 to 1 that he's off social media too. By the way, I just think he's not participating. I think he's certainly on.
He's scrolling.
I can't find the tweet.
I don't have any access.
Oh, here
we go.
I don't
have any access. I've had my password changed.
Yeah. So I made the comment, which I stand by, was that
look at this Twitter. I've put Twitter in, Joel. I'm going to interrupt this time,
okay.
And that's what comes up.
Okay, that's good.
I'm logged out, and I don't have a password.
Good, very good. So I tweeted this out, right? Which it's a harmless tweet, and God forbid you be positive on Twitter. So I said something like, Reece Walsh's first 13 games, he has been more influential than Benji Marshall, and I saw Benji firsthand at the time, and also Kalen Ponga in their first 13 games. Would anyone here disagree with that?
Yeah, probably not. That's okay.
Right. So then this comes out.
People forget Benji started in 03. So people think Benji, they think 05 is when he started.
Yeah. That's right.
But that's not the case.
That's right. Right. So I've got no doubt in my mind that Reece Walsh's first 13 games have been more striking than Ponga and Benji at the time after 13 games. This tweet came through, right? No please or nothing. And the other thing is, swearing on social media is not cool at all. Stop effing doing these dumb comparisons that mean nothing. Oh, righto, boss of Twitter. Look, stop effing doing these dumb comparisons that mean nothing. This came from somebody, and I thought, I'm interested to see what else these sort of people write.
Look at the size of the hook hanging out of his mouth here, Dan. Look at the size.
No, but this is a person who claims to be a rusted on Raiders fan, and they have bagged the tripe out of him the whole time, and getting a lot of likes for bagging the tripe out of him, which says to me, I'm pumping someone up. God forbid I'd be very positive about someone and say, they're going well. And if you think my little tweet is going to bother, do you think that my little tweet is going to throw Reece Walsh's career into disarray?
Probably not.
Probably not. Probably not.
I just got to make sure I like this bloke because I love.
Mate, please.
I need to follow him because I love his work.
But it's just negativity, like bagging the tripe out of Caleb Aikens, bagging the like this same person said it's the Raiders' worst team in 10 years, and it's just a bagathon. It's okay to be positive, okay, sometimes. You don't have to bag and drag people down. Anyway, that's my Bambi.
Off the bit.
Well, but here's a good tip.
Have you made a correct statement, Joel? Reece Walsh, the first 13 games, excellent. Are they as good as Sam Walker's first 13 games?
Well, you know what, Sam Walker's, maybe not. That's a
question.
I know
he's dropped
debate.
Off a little, Sam. Mm. But I think Sam Walker's had more influence over games. Yes. Reece has had great influence. Yep. But, gee, Sam, the first 7 or 8 were pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's...
Okay, anyway.
And his numbers support that, Dan. They absolutely support it. But be careful what you say. We don't want to throw Sam Walsh's career into complete disarray as well. But anyway, this is Get 'em Onside. And we've got a few offside with that particular tweet. Don't you worry about that. But the best tip I can give you, of course, is to take a sec before you tweet and take a sec before you deposit and before you bet, because regardless of the bookmaker which you use, deposit limit, I do it myself. It is the best thing you can do as far as the pun is concerned. Gamble responsibly. As people are tweeting now, who's Sam Walsh? Sam Walker, we meant to say. We got Sam Walker and Reece Walsh confused there. Anyway, most importantly, gamble responsibly.
They're sending a message.
Outside, and the field is set to run.
Sorry, everyone, we're
still alive in the quaddy.
Sportsbet's new Bet With Mates. Start your group and share in the moment. New from Sportsbet.